Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is daf Chaf. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zeh and Ishmael Slibik Avila Bashmuel. We are in Yud Tesamud Aleph. And let us really work today in terms of getting back to speed where we should be. There are two big discussions coming up in today's daf. We are going to be finishing up the topic of Tzereros. The Gemara has multiple questions by Tzereros. Most of the questions the Gemara is going to be raising by Tzereros is going to be unanswered. So just a forewarning. Words of caution. And then on Yud Tesamud Beis, we're going to start the Mishnah. We're going to talk about the Av of Shein, the main category of damages as it relates to an animal consuming. And that'll lead us to today's Daf, Daf Chaf. And today's Daf is going to start a very popular discussion of Zanena Vezelo Chaser, which will come up later on. And that is going to be a very important and very interesting discussion that we're going to have later this morning in the Gemara. Let us continue where we are. We're on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots. And we are starting with the words today, Ibai Lahu. We will. Huh?
We did the first two
takes. Haisa Mevatis.
Right.
Okay, fine. Right, Haisa Mevatis. Okay, we are on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. So just a quick refresher. The topic of Tzereros is a topic regarding damages that are done by an animal where the animal does not do the damage directly with his own body, but rather based on a force generated by the animal. The most classic example of Tzereros is where the animal, while walking, which is the avnezik of Regel. So while walking, the animal asserts pressure on a stone underneath its foot and then launches a stone with force and breaks a keli. So this is a koach, and generally speaking, as the Gemara noted, everyone's of the opinion that koach, that a person's responsible for the koach they generate, and therefore there should be full liability, and you have to pay full damages. And yet, halach l'moshe Mesinai, is that for the owner of the animal, he only needs to pay for half damages of that which was done. Many questions that were asked regarding Tzereros, many questions will be asked regarding Tzereros. One of the basic questions that we dealt with already is that when the Torah demands that you pay half damages on the Tzereros, are you going to be paying Megufo or Me'aliyah? Is it going to be capped or is it going to be out of pocket, whatever it's going to be, whatever the half damages amount to? And that question is based on the fact that we know regarding Karen, when the animal does damage with its horn and it gores, so that's unusual, that's a shinui, and so therefore the Torah only demands that you pay half damages. Now, as we noted there, that when you're paying chatzi nezek of tam, so that's kap migufo, you're only going to be paying based on the cost of your animal that did the damage, and not above the cost of your animal that did the damage. So we see by Karen, when you pay chatzi nezek, it is migufo, so maybe the same thing should be true regarding Tzereros, that you're only going to be paying chatzi nezek, and it's only going to be kap migufo. On the other hand, as we also noted, the chatzi nezek of Tzereros, that is still a tolada, it's a subcategory of regel. Regel, that's usual, that's a common occurrence. And so therefore you're responsible for full damages, minhali, out of pocket. So granted that the Torah by Tzereros is only going to obligate us to pay half damages, but still, it shouldn't be different in that there's no cap. Whatever the half damages amount to, that's how much you're going to have to pay. So the question was, is it Megufo min Aliyah? So that was the question which the Gemara dealt with at length. The Gemara did not arrive at an answer. Another question which we're going to see, and we're going to see actually again later this morning, and that is Koach Kochav. Well, first of all, I'm sorry. Even a point I should have made beforehand, just in terms of basic introductory remarks, whether or not you pay Chatzi Nezek on Tzereros is Machlokes Tanayim. The Chachamim are of the opinion, and this is a halacha, is that you pay Chatzi Nezek, like I've been saying up until now. You pay Chatzi Nezek on Tzereros. Sumchus is of the opinion that for Chatzi Nezek you don't pay, sorry, for Tzereros you don't pay Chatzi Nezek, but rather you pay Nezek Shalem. So whether or not you pay half or full damages by Tzereros is subject to a Machlokes Tanayim. We follow like the Chachamim. Okay, with all that stated, let's continue now in the Gemara where we left off. We're in Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots. Haisa Meva'etas. The Gemara didn't resolve that question. So, Haisa Meva'etas. This is now a quote of the Mishnah that we saw that got the whole ball rolling on this discussion. The animal kicked, O, Shayusoros, Menatnes, Mitachas, Raglev, Vishavras, Akelem. or the animal shot off a stone from under its foot, v'shavas akelim, and broke a utensil. Mishalim chatzi nezek. In these cases, you're going to be paying chatzi nezek. So the question over here is a really simple question, and that is, the Mishnah over here is recording one case or two cases. This is what is the Mishnah trying to communicate? Ibai lehu. The Gemara asks the question. Hechi kamar. Simple pshat in the Mishnah. Haisa mevaetas vihizika bibiuta. Is it the pshat in the Mishnah that when the animal kicked, and while the animal kicked, the animal launched the stone with the force of its foot and did the damage that way? Oh, tzoros korachayim mishalim chatzi nezek. Or maybe no. The tzoros case in the Mishnah is a separate case in the Mishnah. It's independent. And it's just a simple case of where the animal steps down as it's walking, and with the force generated by the pressure of its foot, launches a stone and does damage. Now, Misham Chatzi Nezek, V'Rabbanan Hi. And maybe then the author of the Mishnah is the Chachamim. So that is one possibility. So, basically, the first possibility that we're going to read the Mishnah is... I'm sorry. Let me read that again. We just went through both, and I kind of ran through it again. I'm sorry. So hechi mevatashem. I'm sorry. Ibaylahu hechi kamer haisa mevata vizika bebiuta o tzoros karachayim mishalim chatzi nezek v'rabbanan hi. Right. So is it now that we're talking about where the case is that the animal kicked and did kick and did the damage with its kick? Okay, I'm sorry. I read it too quickly. It did the damage with its kick. Okay, kicking, as we learned already, is a function of Karen, meaning it's unusual. Unusual for an animal to kick. The animal does not get any benefit in doing so. This falls under the category of Karen. Therefore, you're paying Chatzi Nezek. And then the second case in the Mishnah is the classic case of Tzoros, where the animal is walking, Regel, and then launches a stone projectile-like in order to do damage. So those are the two cases in the Mishnah. Really, the truth of the matter is, if this is the right way to understand the Mishnah is really fielding two different avos. One is Karen. The second is Regel. That's one possibility. O Dilma, the Gemara says, or another possibility. Haisa mevet does vizika bibiota, o tzoros machmas biot, mishalim chatzi nezek. Or maybe no. Maybe the Mishnah should be read as one case, where, and this is what I spoke too quickly, but now we could say it. This case in the Mishnah is when the animal kicks, and while the animal kicks, the animal launches a stone projectile-like and then does damage with the stone launched off of its kicking foot. So the Gemara says, Haki orche mishalim nezek shalim, which means now that if this Mishnah's case is one singular case, that means it's a complex case. It means that the stone launched, but not because it stepped on the stone, but rather because it kicked the stone. And the Gemara says, now, if this is the right way to read the Mishnah, so now that's a complex case. What would be the halacha in a very simple case? A simple case where the animal steps on a stone and launches a stone, meaning the classic case of tzoros. So let's think this through. If in the complex case where the animal kicks the stone and then the stone launches, so you're paying chatzi nezek, in the simple case, ostensibly, you'd be paying nezek shalem. Umani, now if that's true, who is our Mishnah following? Simchasi. Then the author of the Mishnah would be Simchas. So essentially, the two different ways of reading the Mishnah will speak to who the author of the Mishnah is. If the Mishnah is telling us the simple halach of Sraros, and the Mishnah is saying you have to pay chatzi nezek, that's a chachamim. If the Mishnah is giving the complex case, where it's only through kicking and sending a stone through the kicking, you pay chatzi nezek. So that means on the simple, that's the other way to read the Mishnah. So that means on the simple case, you'd be paying nezek shalom, and then the author of the Mishnah would be Simchas. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, Tashma mi seifa. Well, the Gemara says, why don't we just read out the Mishnah, because it should be apparent as we continue the Mishnah. Dar sal kli, v'shavra sal. Let's say the animal walks on a kli, breaks the kli, v'nafal hashever al kli acher, and then while breaking the first kli, pieces get launched projectile-like and hit other kelim, v'shavro, and breaks the second kli, al harishon. This is just a quote of the Mishnah. Al harishon mashalim nezek shalom v'al acharon chatzi nezek. On the first kli that you break, you are going to pay full damages. On the second kli that you break, you're going to pay half damages. So the Gemara says, now consider the isumchos kmi isle chatzi nezek. Now, if the author of the Mishnah is Simchos, we know Simchos on Tzroros pays nezek shalom, not chatzi nezek. So, The Gemara says, it seems like a simple reading of this case we just went through is following the opinion of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, and maybe, here's what we'll suggest. Maybe what we're going to suggest is the following. The two kelim that are breaking are not the ones that are under the feet of the animal. But rather, the two kelim that are breaking are both going to be secondary and tertiary kelim from the original one that the animal broke. Meaning, the case in the Mishnah could be where the animal stepped on a kli, broke it. The Mishnah is not even talking about that. Then, projectile. Projectile from the under the foot of the animal hits the first keli. On that you pay nezek shalom. Because what the Gemara is trying to argue is that the author of the Mishnah is Simchas. Then, from the second kli that was hit, it broke, and projectile-like shrapnel comes off the second kli, hits a third kli, and that third kli you pay chatzi nezek. V'shani le simchas ben koch le koch kocho. And now, what we're really introducing is a chiddush, in that, according to Simchas, even though on source you pay full nezek, on koach kocho, if it is a derivative force that is created, and subsequent damage comes from the derivative force. So according to Simchas, you're going to be paying chatzi nezek. But that is based on a chiddush, which is that Simchas sees a difference between koach versus koach kocho, the original force versus the derivative force. So the Gemara says, now, that's, it's not a bad pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning, it could be the pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. Alahada by Rav Ashi. You see, Rav Ashi entertained this very question of whether or not there's a difference between koach and koach kocho from Simchas' standpoint. Rav Ashi discussed it. Koach kocho le Simchas. Sorry, let me do that again. Hada by Rav Ashi koach kocho le Simchas ki kocho dami or lav ki kocho dami. So this is Rav Ashi's question, whether or not according to Simchas there's a difference between koach versus koach kocho. So tif shalei de lav ki kocho dami. Now, if the way we just read the Mishnah is the correct way to read the Mishnah, where the first kli being discussed in the Mishnah is the first one that got destroyed by Tzoros. The second kli in the Mishnah is the one that got destroyed by the kli that got destroyed by the Tzoros. Meaning, basically, the first kli is koach, and the second kli is koach kocho. If all that's true, so then Rav Ashi would never have discussed the issue, as the issue is being spelled out in the Mishnah. The fact that Rav Ashi didn't use the Mishnah in order to clarify his question clearly means Rav Ashi didn't understand the Mishnah this way. Rav Ashi karabana muki la. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you why Rav Ashi didn't use the Mishnah. Because when Rav Ashi read the Mishnah, he only read the Mishnah like the Chachamim, in the way that we originally presented it. In that, the first kli being broken directly under the foot of the animal. That's ragel. That's full damages. The second kli that's broken, through force. That's chatzi nezek, that's roros. So when Rav Ashi read our Mishnah, he only read the Mishnah like the Chachamim. Ubay la hachi haisa mevaz vizika bebiota, otzoros korachayu chatzi nezek, ha machmas biot revia nezek. So the Gemara says, and as far as Rav Ashi is concerned, so the way he read the Mishnah is that the entire Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, and here's the only thing where we could possibly discuss within the Mishnah, and that is the following, and we touched on this yesterday. According to the Chachamim, for Tzoros you pay Chatzi Nezek. Right. Now, what if, now as we discussed in the beginning of this morning Shir, Tzoros is a function of Regal. Which means that the way you're going to be chayv in tzoros is if the stone launched out of the bottom of the foot of the animal as the animal is walking regularly. But what if the animal does something which already is different, a shinui? So for example, the animal kicks. And then through the kick, the animal then launches the stone through its kick. Now, the kick already is irregular. So now, the question which we've discussed yesterday, and the Gemara is just touching on again, is that on the case of Tzoros, where the force was generated by an irregularity, so since the irregularity already brings us to the point of Chatzi Nezek, that's Karen. So then is Tzoros of Karen going to be a quarter? This is a question which we addressed yesterday. Rav Ashi says, that's what we could discuss and deliberate in the Mishnah. But Rav Ashi says, as far as the author of the Mishnah is concerned, Rav Ashi says, there's no question in his mind, the author of the Mishnah is Chachamim. O Dilma, Haisa Mevatas Vezika Bibiota, O, Tzoros Machmas, I'm sorry, O, Tzoros machmas biut chatzi nezik vein shinui. Teku. Or maybe no. Maybe Rav Ashi says that even if the tzoros comes about through an unusual manner, still payment will never be less than chatzi nezik, even though the force that's generated comes from not the regular walking of the animal, but the irregularity of the kicking of the animal. Still, damages never go less than chatzi nezik. Teku. On this question, the Gemara leaves unresolved. Just quickly to summarize. Basically, based on the simple reading of the Mishnah, the Gemara just lumped together multiple questions which the Gemara left unresolved. According to Simchas, is there going to be a difference between Koach versus Koach Kocho? Simchas says that for Koach you pay full damages. Is Simchas going to, on a derivative Koach, is he going to knock it down to half damages? Gemara raises that question. Rav Ashi raises that question. Rav Ashi leaves that question unresolved. A second question which the Gemara just raised and also left unresolved is going to be the question of what if the tzroros comes about through shinui? Meaning tzroros where you pay half damages, meaning now we're shifting to the position of the chachamim. According to the chachamim, for tzroros you pay half damages. Now, the classic case of tzroros is where the projectile stone came out from the animal walking, meaning the regular act of an animal walking, what we call regel. So there the chachamim say you pay half damages. What if the force generated by the animal not comes from the regular act of walking, but an irregular act like kicking? Kicking, as we discussed since the beginning of the Masechta, that's a tolada of Keren. So if the tzroros comes about through Keren, does that now half, does the tzroros halacha half the Keren? Keren is chatzi nezek. Tzroros of Keren would be a quarter. So will your tzroros compounded with a Keren, will that reduce the damages to a quarter? That the Gemara already also raises a question, and the Gemara also leaves that question unresolved.
It seems like you're applying
Surah
to shame, care, and everything, right?
On Shabbat,
they had the dog, and now to the.
Okay. Rashi says it gives me confidence to say it. Rashi says that Surah can only be a function of regal. So, how does Rashi understand this whole construct of the animal kicking and the Surah's, the Surah's payment coming from the kicking? So, Rashi will tell. That part's going to be a little bit tricky. But in terms of how to categorize tzroros, Rashi says it always falls under the category of regel. There's a Tosos earlier, which I did not note, that seems to apply tzroros to the concept of shein as well. Okay. By Minei, we are in the second wide line in your testament, Aleph. The Gemara now continues its discussion. By Minei, Rabbi Bar Mama, Mi Rabbi Ami, Varmila, Mi Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Haisa Malachas Bamakom, Shi'i Efshala, Ela Imke Menatezes. Ubata vihitiza viziko mahu. Gemara says, let's say the animal is in a position where it doesn't matter where the animal puts his foot down. There are stones all over the place, and the animal is going to shoot stones out of his foot. It's just impossible. The lay of the land is such where it's going to happen, where stones are going to fly off the foot. Kevin di efshala orchehu. So now here, maybe we won't apply the rule of tzroros. Because at this point in time, there's just no other conclusion other than they're just simply going to be projectiles coming out of the foot of the animal. No, if it's tzroros, we have to be talking about Rishus HaNizak, because it's a function of regal. Oh, Dilma, Hashta Mia Machmas Biut Kamenadza Tzroros. Or the Gemara says no, or maybe not. Maybe it comes about, in other words, if it came about through the animal kicking, so then we don't say that this is quote-unquote normal, this is regular, and so then maybe we wouldn't apply the regular rules of tzoros. So the Gemara says, Teku, the Gemara leaves this question also unresolved. By Rav Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zera, Haisam Aleches Bereshus HaRabim. Okay, now, tzoros is a function of regal. It's a subcategory of regal. Okay, now, as we've learned since day one, to just keep repeating it, and eventually it will sink, it will penetrate. As we learned since day one, the damages for regal are only going to be incurred if the damages are incurred in the Rishus HaNizak. If it's in a public area, you are not liable for any damages that are done through regal and through shame. So now, That means that if your animal is walking in the Rishus Rabin and steps on someone else's keli, you, the owner of the animal, are going to be exempt. If your animal is walking through Rishus Rabin and eats somebody else's food that's in a Rishus Rabin, you, the owner, are going to be exempt. The liability of Shein and Regel only occur by Rishus Anisa. Since Tzraros is a subcategory of Regel, so therefore Tzraros is only going to, the liability of Tzraros is only going to be incurred in the Rishus Anisak. Those are the basics. Now from there, the Gemara is going to entertain the following discussion. And that is, look, Tzraros are projectiles. They're being launched. So now the Gemara is going to entertain some wonderful questions regarding what if the animal is in one Rishus and the stone gets launched into another Rishus. So now, are we going to have exemptions from liability? So the Gemara starts off the discussion. So let's say the animal now is walking in the Rishus Rabim, an area where Regel is Pater. I'm going to skip that word in the parentheses. Vihitiza, vihizika. And now, a projectile stone got launched from under the foot of the animal and hit a kli in somebody's Rishus Hayachid. Mahu. So at this point in time now, what do we say? So, are we going to say it's similar to Karen? In that, Karen, you're going to be liable regardless of where the Rishus is. Here too as well. Or maybe no. Maybe the Tzraros is a function of Regel, and therefore you're going to be exempt. Now Rashi points out, by the way, over here, that we could have reversed the case as well. Meaning the animal could have been the Rishus Yachid, and the projectile stone landed in the Rishus Rabim, and whatever the conclusion is we're going to say right now in the Gemara is going to be true for the inverted case as well. Amar lei, mistaba tolada de Regel hu. So he says, look, it's a subcategory of Regel. So meaning to say that if the animal finds itself in the Rishus Rabim, so just like if it steps on an item in the Rishus Rabim, it's going to be Pater, Tzraros as well is going to be Pater, even though the item that it hit was in the Rishus Yachin. Not yet.
That was a question, no?
Huh?
I mean, it just gave us an answer, but was not the question? The question was, if it lands in the Rishus
Yachid. I'm sorry, not yet. Again, I did the same thing. I knew the Gemara coming up ahead, so I went ahead one case in the Gemara. So I'm sorry, over here we're just talking about where it shoots out in the Rishus Rabim and it lands in the Rishus Rabim. And at this point in time the Gemara says you're gonna be Pater because it's Regel. Now he teases the Rishus Rabim, the Zika Rishus Yachid. Okay, now I could say it. Now the projectile coming off the foot of the animal, the animal itself was in the Rishus Rabim. Obviously, the stone, where from its starting point, launched from the Rishus Rabim, and then hit something in the Rishus Yachid. Mahu. Amar lei, Akira ein kan, Hanacha yesh kan. Well, he says, look, there's no Akira. Akira is from the place where it started. Hanacha is where the place it landed. So there's no Akira. Now, what does that mean, there's no Akira? Meaning there's no liability of Akira. Meaning it's starting in Rishus Rabim, that's a Makom Pater. That's a place of exemption. So then I'm going to ignore the Akira, but then take into consideration the Hanacha. Meaning if there's no Akira, there's no Hanacha. It doesn't matter where the stone landed. If it started from the Rishus Rabim, you're going to be exempt. Esvei, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll challenge you based on a brisa. Haisa malach is bederach v'itiza. If the animal was walking and it did damage, bein rishus yachid, bein rishus rabim, and regardless of whether it was rishus yachid, rishus rabim, chayev. Now, you would be liable. The brisa clearly says liability. What's the case of the brisa? My love, hitiza b'rishus rabim, v'zika b'rishus rabim. So it must be that it launched from rishus rabim and hit something in the rishus rabim. The Gemara says, lo, hitiza b'rishus rabim, v'zika Rishus Yachid. It launched from a Rishus Rabim, an area of exemption, and it hit its target in the Rishus Yachid in a place of liability. What did we just get done? What did we just concluded? That as long as the stone landed and did damage in the Rishus Yachid, regardless of the fact that it was launched from Rishus Rabim, you're going to be obligated. So the Gemara says, wait one second, Amar Dakira ain't kan Hanachi Yesh kan. Yeah, but didn't you just get done saying that if the launching spot is a place of exemption, so then we don't care where it lands, we don't regard the Hanacha. And now the way you just learned the Braisa, no, if damage is done in Rishus Yachid, you're going to be liable, even though the launching pad was the Rishus HaRambim. So the Amalei, how'd you be? So he says, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I changed my mind. I now conclude that the critical component is where the damage has occurred, and not where the launching takes place. The launching could be taking place in Rishus HaRambim. Is the only thing that I regard as significant is where the damage occurs. If the damage occurs in the Rishus HaYachid, you are going to be, you're the owner of the animal, going to be liable. Next.
It's
Roros. It's Roros. Yeah. So Chati.
Yeah.
Eitzvei, the Gemara now is going to challenge from another Braisa. Darsal HaKli V'Shevro Sov, Nafal HaShevro HaKli Achir V'Shevro. This is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about an animal stepping on one kli, breaking the first kli, then shrapnel from the first kli hits the second kli. So, just to review the Mishnah one more time. The first kli, you're going to be chai of full damages. Why? Because that's regal. The second kli, you're going to be chai of half damages. Why? That's sereros. Utani Allah. On this Mishnah, there's a braisa. All this only is going to be true in the property of the one who was damaged. Because again, remember, regel, you're not chai for regel in the Rishus HaRabim. So the only way we can even have this discussion is only in the Rishus HaNizak. But in the Rishus HaRabim, on the first one you'd be chai, and on the second one, sorry, in the Rishus HaRabim, on the first one you'd be potter, on the second one you'd be chai. Now, second one you're going to be chai, why? So my love, hataza b'rishus harabim, v'zika b'rishus harabim. So the Gemara is suggesting, well, because the launching and the damage both took place in Rishus HaRabim, and you're going to be chayv on the, not on the regal, not on the stepping of the kli, that's an exemption. But on the throwers, you're going to be obligated, obviously only half damages. But what comes out now, if this is the right reading of the Mishnah and the Braisa that accompanies the Mishnah, you're going to be chayv on sereros even the Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara, which is one second, and the Gemara says, lo, he teaches a Rishus HaRabim, vizika Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara says, no. The case in question over here is where the launching was from the Rishus HaRabim, but the damage occurred in the Rishus HaYachid. That's the only case by Tzoros you're going to be chayav, because, again, going back to the point we made just a moment ago, significant point of Tzoros is not the place where it was launched from, but where the damage actually occurred. So the Gemara says, V'amar dakirein kan anachi yesh kan. Doesn't this go against what you said previously? So Amar le, how'd you be? So he says, you're right, it goes against what I said previously. And then I reconsidered, and then I realized the significant point is where it got broken.
But it's logical that if regal, you put on Rishus HaRabim, then the toldos should be shule.
Okay, so
if the arm is put, why should the toldos be put?
Because the told of Tzraros behaves a little bit differently. Well, the Gemara, and this is the part that I misspoke earlier. No, the Gemara had a havamina that even the Rishus HaRabim you'd be chayv in Tzraros because it's unusual, it's irregular, and therefore it would follow a Karen model.
It's unusual.
The step in
it is
okay. That's right. Again, it's not the maskana, but that was at least the havamin in this discussion and in the previous discussion. The ha'amar Rav Yochanan. We're now in the Yitap and Yotesamad Beis. In it, the Gemara says this is true. Ha'amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ein chatzi nezik chalak lo l'rishos yach v'l'rishos rabim. Chatzi nezik is no. There's no distinction between private and public domain. Now, happens to be Rav Yochanan, we have been discussing Tzoros since the beginning of this morning. We've been discussing Tzoros since yesterday. So it happens to be that we are now having such a Tzoros discussion that right now it's all we see. But to be fair, and the Gemara is going to point this out in just a moment, if you look at Rav Yochanan in a vacuum and just read the line now, and let's move away from Tzoros and just read what Rav Yochanan is saying. Ein chatzi nezik chalok lo l'rishus yachav l'rishus harabim. The chatzi nezik damages. What is chatzi nezik damages? Well, it could be Tzoros, because that's what we've been talking now for the past couple days. But the simplest pshat is that he's talking about Karen. And all he's saying is that when it comes to the Karen damages, it doesn't matter whether it's in a private or public domain. and to be fair and to be honest. That's the easiest way to read Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara later on will say, and that's correct. But in the meantime, however, for a couple of moments, for a couple lines of Gemara, we think that he's talking about Sroros. Now, if he's talking about Sroros, we have problems. Because as we pointed out, Sroros is a subcategory of Regal, and you're only chayav by Regal in the Rishos HaNizak, and you're only chayav by Sroros in the case of in the Rishos HaNizak. So what is Rav Yochanan talking about? My love, he teased the Rishos HaRabim, Vizika Rishos HaRabim. So doesn't Rav Yochanan mean that the pebble was launched in the Rishos HaRabim, did damage in the Rishos HaRabim? Lo, he teased the Rishos HaRabim, Vizika Rishos HaYachid. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Yochanan just simply means that regardless of where it was launched from, it could be launched from the Rishos HaYachid. It could be launched from the Rishos HaRabim. As long as the damages occur in the Rishos HaYachid, you're going to be Chayev Tzraros. And the half damages of Tzraros. V'amar Akirin Kan Hanachin Yesh Kan. Just for a third time, just for good measure. I misspeak. I say things that are wrong, right? And didn't you say that? Yeah, I misspoke. You want to go over it again? Sure, I misspoke. So from the way the Gemara is laid out, it kind of sounds like repeatedly he says, yeah, but didn't you say? And for a third time now, so I'm sorry, Amalei Hadri B. So he says, okay, all right. I retracted from my position. I now working with the assumption and the conclusion that when it comes to Tzraros, the critical moment by Tzraros is where it does the damage. Or the Gemara says, look, this statement to Rav Yochanan, as I mentioned a moment ago, Kiyam Rav Yochanan Akeren. Rav Yochanan was not talking about Tzraros at all. Rav Yochanan was talking about Keren. And therefore, Rav Yochanan's statement has no bearing whatsoever to our discussion. Let's continue. If he's talking about Keren, so he's giving us the basic rule, and what, right, and then it's good. Why then did I need Rav Yochanan to tell something which is really basic, right, and something we would have known presumably without Rav Yochanan? That's an excellent question. Excellent. Yasu Rav Yehuda Nisiyah v'Rabbi Yoshi Akilah de Rabbi Yehuda. Two Amoraim, Rav Yehuda Nisiyah, the grandson of Rav Yehuda Nasi, and Rav Yoshi were sitting by the house of Rav Yehuda. Nafag milsa mi binayu, kishkasha biznavamahu. Let's say your animal is wagging its tail with veracity and does damage. So, Rashi points out, so this is considered now Is this considered normal behavior? Because remember, any normal behavior that's taking place in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, owner of the animal is going to be exempt. Ragel and Shane are normal behaviors. And therefore, any damage done through normal behavior is going to be exempt in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So the wagging of the tail of the animal, is that fall into the category of normal behavior? So Kiska Mazamahu, Amarlei Idach Vichi Achzenabiz Nava, Vyelech, is the owner of the animal expected to hold on to the tail as the animal's walking? Okay, that's Jewish speak for is basically saying it's normal. but sometimes we do that. We answer questions with a question. It's normal behavior. Iachi Karinami. Iachi Karinami. So the Gemara says, Nema v'chi yachzena b'keren v'yelech. So the Gemara says, now the horn of your animal, are you expected to hold down the horn of your animal so that you prevent it from goring? So the Gemara says hachiyash. The Gemara says, let's not compare the two. Keren lavorchehu. So the Gemara says, as far as Keren is concerned, that's irregular. That's irregular damages. That's why you're going to be liable, even the Rishos HaRabim. Ha orche, the wagging of the tail of the animal is considered normal. Therefore, you're going to be exempt in the Rishos HaRabim. V'chi me'achad orche mai mi ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if it's normal, then why are we even having the discussion? So then you're going to be exempt, and like, I don't even know why this is a give and take. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where it's a give and take, where the Gemara says, where let's say it's vigorous. Vigorous wagging of the tail. Does that now basically turn the wagging of the tail from a, what we would call a regular activity, to a Karen activity, and that would then bring about a liability in the Rishos HaRabim? That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara then leaves that, doesn't even say teku, meaning that's the discussion we're having. Okay. By Ravena Kiskasaba Amasamahu. Let's say the Gemara swings its masculinity. So mi aminan mi did have a Karen lav yitzara katak. I'm sorry, Karen lav yitzara katakivlay hachin amiloshna. So the Gemara says, so maybe if it does damage with its masculinity, so much like by Karen, so the Gemara has what we would call instincts. And the Gemara says yitzar over here, but yitzar not in the same way that you and I have a yitzar, meaning impulses, instincts. So the Gemara says, so just like by the Karen, it's going to be liable for its damages, its impulsive damages with the Karen. So the Gemara says, maybe the same thing is true regarding the Aver as well. Oh, Dilma Karen, Kavanas Alahazik, Ha'in Kavanas Alahazik. But the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe when it does damage with its horn, so it was impulsive and intentional. But the Gemara says, but maybe with the Amma, so maybe it was unintentional. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. The Gemara now is going to the next case of the Mishnah, discussing the birds. And with the Gemara, the Mishnah, if you just take a quick look back at the Mishnah, the Mishnah takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Perek, the Yud Zayinim and Aleph. So the Mishnah, after giving the cases of Regel and the case of Tzereros, the Mishnah, the last two lines of the Mishnah, Yud Zayinim and Aleph, discusses the birds. Mu'adam lahalach chidakon l'sharba. So when it comes to chickens, if they walk and they step on something, so that's something which is regular activity. And again, in Rishus HaNizak, chai full damages. In the Rishus HaRabim, you're exempt. Haya delil kashur biraglav. If let's say somebody tied something to the feet of the bird, so then you would pay chatzi nezek. So basically somebody tied some sort of weight to the bottom of the bird, and now there's going to be a liability. Gemara's question over here, very simple. Amar Rav Huna. We are now in the Gemara on Yud Tesamud Beis. Lo shanu ala shenikshah me'elav ava kashu adam chayev. The Mishnah's discussion is only where something gets tangled up in the feet of the bird. But if somebody deliberately ties something to the foot of the bird, so then chayev. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Nikshah me'elav man chayev. The Gemara says, wait one second. If the bird's feet gets tangled in something and then does damages, so who's going to be chayiv? Ilem abal hadalil. So hechidami. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the person who left the weight in the street. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Idatsnia. Well, let's say he didn't leave it in the street. Let's say the owner of whatever that weight was that got caught up in the bottom of the foot of the bird. Let's say the person put it away in a safe place. And then the bird somehow got to the safe place. Bird got its foot tangled up in it. And the bird now is walking and doing damages with this weight. So the Gemara says, Anusu. Well, if that's true, then you cannot put any kind of liability on the owner of this weight. He put it away in a safe place. V'ilo'atznia. Now, if the person did not put it away in a safe place and kind of left it out, and then the bird got tangled up, posheahu. Well, at that point in time, the owner of the weight is a negligent individual, leaving things out. And then the bird, in this case, didn't trip on...
Is that boar?
The bird didn't trip on it, but the bird got tangled up in it. But it was the owner of the delil who left the hazard out. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Ela chayev bal tarnagol. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, V'latznei posheihu. Ela chayev bal tarnagol. Maishna kulin ezek delo. So the Gemara says, now, in terms of paying full damages, we're going to say no. Dichsiv ki yiftach ish bor velo shor bor. So the Gemara says, so let's think this through. So now, what is the owner of the chicken going to be obligated? You see, the owner of the chicken, whose foot got caught up with this weight, and now is going around and doing damages, you see, the owner of the chicken is not going to be obligated because the weight, as Ben pointed out correctly, the weight is considered a bore. Basically, you left a hazard out. Now, I understand by a pit, the pit doesn't move around. But as we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a concept called bor hamizgagel. A pit is just a main category. Let's say you leave a knife out, and somebody does damage on the knife that you left out. And let's say after you left the knife out, it got kicked around. It's still your knife, and you're still going to have full liability for anything that happens. If you're the owner of the weight, So, and you left it out, you're going to be the one doing the liability. Now, as far as the owner of the chicken is concerned, the owner of the chicken is not going to have any liability. Meaning, let's say, for example, your animal digs up a pit and somebody falls in. You don't have liability for that. The Torah says, Chi yiftach ish bor, velo shur bor. The responsibility of a pit is only when you dig a pit. If your animal digs a pit, you're not liable for that. Chatzi nezek nami, ish bor velo shur bor. So the Gemara says, so then I don't understand the Mishnah. Right. The Mishnah talks about having a payment of chatzi nezek. The Gemara says, chatzi nezek, look, you're exempt. Ela masisen bida aduye aduye. So the Gemara says that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking about a case totally different than that of Rav Huna. Rashi goes on to explain what's the Mishnah talking about. Lo mitukma, I'm reading the Rashi. It's a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Lo mitukna ela ba'adui yadui shizarka tanagol hadalil. The Mishnah's case is talking about sororos. The bird kicked the stone. Vishibir bezrika so kalim. Da'avut sororos. Va'afilu kashara adam nami lo mishalim. Ela chati nezik bal hatanagol. Va'akosha potter. Shalona tikal adam abaro d'rav huna lo mitukma amasnisen. As far as Rav Huna is concerned, says Rashi, in the basic explanation of the Gemara, Rav Huna was not addressing the Mishnah. Rav Huna was making an independent statement. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is just talking about a simple case of sereros, which parenthetically, by the way, makes perfect sense, because the entire context of the Mishnah is introducing us to the topic of sereros. And basically what the Mishnah wants to tell us is that sereros is a liability, whether my animal kicks a stone, or even if my bird kicks a stone. In other words, I'm going to be liable for any projectile force that comes off the foot of my animal, regardless of what the animal is. So the Gemara says, now, that's the Mishnah. And as far as Rav Huna is concerned, Rav Huna, we're back in the Gemara, Be'alma Itmar. Rav Huna was making a statement in of itself, not connected to the Mishnah. And this is what Rav Huna was discussing. Dalo Hefker. So let's say the weight in question belonged to nobody. I'm Rav Huna Nishame Elav Pater. So now, the weight didn't belong to anybody. And then your bird got caught up with this weight, and now your bird is doing damage with the weight. So then, obviously, the owner of the chicken is going to be Pater, because the owner was not the one who attached the weight to his bird, and the weight belonged to nobody. Kasharu Adam, but let's say somebody ties the weight onto the foot of your bird, for whatever reason. So Chayev Mishamai. Chayev. So the Gemara says you're going to be Chayev, and why would you be Chayev? I'm Rav Huna Bar Manoch Mishum, Bor HaMizgago, Beragle Adam, Beragle Behema. Because basically by you tying this stone to the foot of the bird, you're the one now who's introducing the boar into the public, and so therefore that's what's called Bor HaMizgago, and therefore you, the one who tied it on, are going to be the one liable for all subsequent damages. Let's begin the Mishnah. This Mishnah now, the first Mishnah in the Perek discussed Rego. The Mishnah moves on to discuss Shein. Ketzer HaShein Mu'edes. What do we say is regular behavior as far as an animal consuming? Lechol Esarayla. Eating food that the animal normally eats. Habehema Mu'edes Lechol Peres V'Yirakos. Animals generally eat fruit and vegetables. Let's say your animal eats clothing or eats a utensil, so that is abnormal, it's irregular. And again, just keep in mind, every time we move from regular to irregular, we're moving from Shane to Karen. Therefore, the owner of the animal is going to be paying half damages. So again, just to remind ourselves, that's good and it's bad. It's good in that the owner of the animal does not have to pay for the full damages. It's bad because now the owner of the animal is going to be having to have liability regardless of where it occurs. Misham chatzin ezek. By medrash amar birshas anizak, the liability of regular eating of shein is only in the rishus anizak of abirshas rabin pater. But if shein damages were to occur in the public, you would be exempt. V'im nenes mishalem es mashen nenes. Now, as far as the owner of the animal is concerned, he does not have liability for the food that his animal eats in the rishus rabin. However, he benefited. The owner of the animal benefited because he does not have to go back to his house with his animal and feed his animal. So he can't ignore the fact although he's exempt from liability for damages, cannot ignore the fact that he just benefited from his friend. So Ketza Mishlam is Mashinenis. So he has to now pay for dinner. We're going to be discussing later this morning how much does he have to pay. If he ate from the street, he pays for that which he ate. Seemingly superfluous line of the Mishnah. We're going to discuss that later. If it's done on the side of the street, he pays for that which he damages. Again, we're going to discuss that later in the Gemara. From the entrance of the store, he pays for that which he benefited. In the store, he pays for that which he actually damages. Again, these last cases in the Mishnah, Rashi points out, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to discuss why the Mishnah is giving us these extra cases. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara. Hashem Moedes Lechol, Es Arayla, the animal. The owner of the animal is going to be liable for quote-unquote normal eating of the animal. The animal goes into the property of the damaged party. And the animal eats and drinks what is normal food and drink. Now the owner of the animal has full liability. A wild animal, meaning wild meaning just the category. I don't mean wild, meaning ownerless.
Like a deer.
Like a deer, a gazelle. So, and a carnivorous animal going into your friend's property and actually eating an animal off your friend's property. So, mishalim nezek shalim. Because the chaya is a carnivorous animal, and therefore eating another animal is normal consumption, therefore you, the owner of the animal, have full liability. Let's say the cow ate the cow ate barley, the donkey ate some sort of fodder, the kelv shalikik as a shemen, the dog eats a little bit of oil, the chazr sha'achal chaticha shabasar, your pig is eating a piece of meat, the shaman ezek shalim. These are all considered normal consumptions, therefore you, the owner, have full liability. Amra papa, hashem akomida de lavorcheva achale ayideat chak shme achila. So the Gemara says, now, in terms of liability for your animal eating, it doesn't have to be something which is normally on its diet, but as long as the animal will settle for this food, that for the halachas of liability puts you under the category of shein, and therefore you have to pay full liability. So the Gemara says, "Ishuna da'achro tamrei." So let's say your cat eats somebody else's figs on their property. It doesn't normally fall under the diet of the cat, but the cat will make do. Therefore, you, the owner of the cat, have to pay full damages. V'chamer d'achel binisa, and if your donkey were to eat the fish on your other person, on your friend's property, mishalem nezek shalem. So again, it's not the normal diet, but your animals will make do, and therefore you have to pay full damages. How chamer d'achel nahama palsua? Let's say your donkey goes into your neighbor's property and eats bread in a basket, and upalsua lasala. And let's say your animal, trying to get to the bread, eats bread and basket. So now, Chayva Rav Yehuda L'shan Nezek Shalem Anahama V'asala Chatzi Nezek. So Rav Yehuda, the case came in front of Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, for the bread that the donkey ate, full damages at Shane. For the basket that the donkey ate, half damages, because he felt that was irregular, and therefore it's Karen. Chatzi Nezek. V'amai Kevin Dorchel Amechel Nahama. So the Gemara says, now, a donkey will not normally eat a basket by itself. But if there's bread in the basket, the donkey is not exactly the pickiest of eaters. The donkey does not exactly have utensils in hand. The donkey is going to eat both. Therefore, it's considered normal. Therefore, the Gemara is challenging Rav Yehuda, you should be paying Nezek Shalem. The Gemara says, that the donkey ate the bread and then afterwards ate the basket. And so therefore the consumption of the basket is abnormal, therefore it's Karen, therefore Chatzi Nezek. The Gemara says, now, is the donkey really going to be eating bread? Is that normal? So the Gemara says, if your animal were to eat bread or meat, or cooked foods, these are all irregular consumption, therefore chatzi nezek. So myla bebehema lo bechaya. So the Gemara says this brisa is not talking about an animal; it's talking about an undomesticated animal. Chaya basar orchehu. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. It is normal for a chaya to eat another animal, meaning chayas are carnivorous. So therefore, that's not abnormal, that's normal. So the Gemara gives 3 answers. The Gemara says, Dematve, answer number 1, we're talking about where the meat was roasted. Okay. Ibaizema Batavia, or we're talking about a deer, and the deer does not normally eat bread and meat. Vibaizema olam bebehema upetura. Or some suggest that it ate the meat, but it ate the meat off the table. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara, and that is irregular. We're on the very top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Hahu Barcha Dechaza Lifta Apubin Dedana. There was a goat who saw some cabbage on the top of a barrel. Sarach Sal Achla Lifta Vitavri Ledana. The goat got so excited, climbed up the barrel to eat the cabbage. And broke the barrel in doing so. Chayve Rava lifta v'adana nezek shalem. Rava says full damages on both the cabbage and on the barrel. So the Gemara says now that needs an explanation. My time up. Kevin de orch lamecha lifta orch name l'siruche ulamisale. You see, what now becomes part of normal is not only the food consumed but the method of consumption. It's normal for the goat to climb up the barrel to get it, so therefore that's considered part of the eating act, and therefore Rava felt that the full liability should be both on food and on barrel. Amar ilfa behema berushus rabim upashtu savrava achlami algabe chaverta chayeves. Ilfa teaches the following. Let's say your animal is in the Rishus HaRabim. Now remember, Shane is exempt in the Rishus HaRabim. But what your animal did is climb on the back of another animal in order to get food off the back of another animal. So Ilfa felt under those circumstances, liability. My taima. The Gemara says, why should that be? So Gabi Chaver to Kechatzar Nizek Dami. So the Gemara says, because since it ate the food off the back of another animal, even though they were in a Rishus HaRabim, but the back of the other animal is considered the Rishus HaNizek. Lema Misayela, the Gemara says, that's a Chiddush, and perhaps the following Brisa will support the Chiddush. Haisa Kupasim Uvshal Sa'acharav. Let's say you have some sort of container that is flung on your back. I guess we can call it a knapsack. Upashto tzavarava achla mimenu. And what happens is now an animal goes into your knapsack in order to eat your food. Chayeves. So the Gemara says under those circumstances you'd be chayev. So what we seem to be saying now, even though you're in the Rishus HaRabim, is that as long as it goes into your possessions that are on you, that is considered Rishus HaNizak. And this would be supportive of Ilfa. So the Gemara says, Kedama Rava Bekofetzes. So the Gemara says, well, it's not that the animal just kind of stretched its neck, the animal jumped on your back. And, as Rashi points out over here, that now becomes an irregular activity, and basically now we're moving this from the category of Shane to the category of Karen. Which then, of course, means, but you have to say this, is that when the Brisa says Chayav, you have to understand what the Brisa really means is Chatzi Nezek. Hachanami bekofetzes veheichid madarav. I'm sorry. So here also we could be talking. The case in question over here could be where the animal jumped, and again that's irregular, and that would mean that you'd be chayv chatzinezek. Veheichid madarav ha'damer Rabbi Oshia. So the Gemara says, and as far as Rava's halacha was concerned, it can be supported by the following: beheima brishos rabim hachava achla petura. If the animal is eating while walking, exempt. Davi achla chayev. But the animal stopped and ate, you, the owner of the animal, will be liable. The Gemara says, now that is hard to understand. So the Gemara says, what difference does it make? Your animal is eating while walking, animal stopped to eat, it's in the Rishus HaRabim, you should be exempt. Amrava Bekofet says, so Rava says that the animal didn't just stop, but it stopped and it jumped. Which means now that it becomes an irregular action, and it's Karen. By Rav Zera, Mizgalgal Mahu. Let's finish up today with the following discussion in the Gemara. Let's say, now I'm going to read the Gemara like Rashi, I'm going to understand the Gemara like Rashi. Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi, but again, I'm just presenting Rashi this morning. Mizgalgal Mahu. Let's say your animal found food and rolled it into another Rishus before eating it. So now, it's very similar to the question that we dealt with earlier. Okay, so hechidami could go into kaima amor b'rishos hayachid. So let's say that the fodder was in a private area, v'kamas gagavasim b'rishos hayachid b'rishos harabim. And what your animal did before eating it is you rolled it into the b'rishos harabim and then he ate it. My, what would be the halacha there? Tashma, didni Rabbi Chia, masui miksasa b'mifnim miksasa b'chutz. If I have some sort of food, some of it's on the Rishus Yachin, some is in the Rishus Rabim, Achla Bibifnim Chayavis, Achla Bibchutz Patura. That which is on the property, so owner of the animal will be liable. That's Shein Rishus Anizak. That which is outside the property, meaning in the Rishus Rabim, exemption. Now, my love, Mizgagava Asi. Now, we don't know this, but we're going to speculate. Maybe it's talking about where the animal rolled it from one Rishus to another. Lo, the Gemara says incorrect. Ema achla amash b'fnim chayavis amash b'chayavis amash b'chutz petura. The Gemara says the pshat we're going to say is a really simple pshat, which is that it just simply it wasn't food that needed to be rolled. Rashi says it's like it was kernels of barley, and basically wherever the animal ate, that's going to establish liability versus exemption in the Rishus Anizak. Liability in the Rishus Harabim, exemption. Or maybe the Gemara says like this: maybe they were long stalks of hay, and basically shearing the border of the Rishus Yachid and the Rishus Harabim. And so now, excellent question. So now you have a stick of hay, both in Rishus Yachid and the Rishus Harabim, and now obviously when the animal pulls it, he's going to be pulling something that is both in the Rishus Yachid and the Rishus Harabim. What's going to establish liability versus exemption? Where did the animal pick it up from? If the animal picked it up in the street, even though obviously that meant that some of it was in the Rishus Yachid and he dragged it from the Rishus Yachid, so it's going to be exemption. If the animal picked it up in the Rishus Yachid, liability. The Gemara says that could be the Chiddush that we're discussing here in question. Okay, we'll stop at the two dots. Tomorrow we pick it up. Tomorrow we begin one of the more classic discussions in the Gemara of Zeh Nana v'Zeh Lo Chaser. Okay.